broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to From Boots to Biz Radio. We are dedicated to promoting business ownership among military veterans, military spouses, and first responders. So, had Kevin Finn, my trusty sidekick, co-host, and producer, and wearer of many hats. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. The weather's been a little crazy, but other than that, things are going good.
It's not crazy. It's cold. I'm ready for spring. So.
Exactly. I don't know if spring exists anymore.
better. My golf clubs are rattling in the closet. So.
Mine are in my trunk.
There you go. Okay, you're ahead. Well, I'm excited about our show today because we're talking about how people can get into business for themselves for less than $500.
Wow.
So that should be a very interesting topic. And our guests today are Lorna Rasmussen of Legal Shield and a return appearance by popular demand of Bill King, the founder and president of Axiom Franchise Advisors.
Wow.
Thanks so much for being here, both of you.
Great to be here, Bill. Thanks for the invite.
Welcome.
And the popular demand, Bill, your wife called and demanded that we get you out of the house. So that's the demand part.
Yeah, you didn't think I was going to let that go. That requires an explanation of who demanded.
Well, yeah. She said maybe if you got out of the house, you'd take a shower. So, so all right. Well, listen, while we've got you, all keyed up, you and I have been in the franchise business, consulting business for several years, and we're constantly challenged by people or by our desire to help everyone we meet. But the fact is that traditional franchises require significant financial investment. So, that's a challenge, and I know you've done a lot of research on it, and you brought in some new ideas.
Well, I have, but maybe to kind of lay a foundation. We had a specific reason and need that we were searching for these types of companies, and it wasn't really driven entirely or exclusively on the low-cost side. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody listening today that it's a lot easier for us to build a so-called traditional portfolio of quality franchise businesses, but most of those are going to fall in an acquisition area of 150, 200,000 or more in investment capital.
Mm-hmm.
And, from the day I started this company, I was always frustrated by the fact that I was forced to have to say no in what I considered to be too many cases. Good people, motivation was there, entrepreneurial spirit was in place. Everything was there for us to help these people, except that they didn't have enough investment capital. And the best that we could do in a situation like that is to give the advice, along with the disappointing news that they didn't really qualify financially, but in many cases we tried to help these people identify what they might do to go back and ready themselves, if you will, to make another pass at it and come back to us, hopefully. The advice was good, but few people really did that. They were so disappointed and dissuaded and, in some cases, depressed to find out that they couldn't make the cut, if you will. And that frustration built with me, and I continued over a very long period of time, actually, to find those kinds of businesses, which it's difficult. I know it sounds a little bit crazy, but it's a lot more difficult when you're trying to find the value-oriented businesses that fit the criteria among and alongside our traditional franchises that we offer, business opportunities, as the case may be, because there are fewer of them.
Yes.
There are fewer that are, in my estimation, what I call legitimate investment quality.
Yes.
They're more hobby businesses, if you will, and they... the thought of a business that was able to care for somebody's family just wasn't there. It could keep somebody busy. It could keep them interested. But was it the kind of business where they could actually grow it into an enterprise kind of event was unlikely.
Where they could really depend
on
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And years, this was not a process over a couple of months' time, but years' time. And I just couldn't find them that fit what we needed to legitimize those kinds of offerings to our clients.
Good. Well, absolutely. And I know you've done some work and we've both been approached by many, many people, trying to find the right thing. But why don't we bring Lorna into the discussion? We only have an hour, Lorna, so I can't read all your bio. But, film production, university teacher, professor, author of multiple books, million-dollar achiever in your industry. Are we running out of time already?
You skipped the Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize
in 78.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, she's a really nice person. Welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
But you went down this path yourself. So why don't you tell how you got it there and how you moved into the direct sales and how that developed for you?
Well, I think I've tried every way there is to make a living, including being a college professor and starting my own businesses. I did buy a franchise at one time, a very small and turned out to be unsuccessful franchise. It actually went out of business. And actually that was my introduction to what we're talking about here, which is a business model that can be purchased like a franchise with all kinds of support, but doesn't have the price tag of a franchise, and it was because the franchise I was with turned into a direct sales model.
Ah, okay.
So, which I had resisted ever getting involved with a business like that, thinking very much like Bill was saying, it was, kind of last ditch opportunity for people who, didn't have other opportunities. And having started my own businesses, having one a film production business, another a film distribution business, and then a training business, I knew what it took to start a business. I knew that it was an undertaking and that if you don't have a business background, which I didn't, or really even people to show me how to run businesses, that I was basically on my own swimming up the stream without any help from the current. I was going against the current. And so discovering direct sales was, and some people refer to it as network marketing, was what really got my attention, because I discovered that it was very much like a franchise. So I just, bought a franchise. It was now operating like a direct sales company. What that meant, by the way, was that I was able to leverage myself if I found other people who wished to work in that business, which there were a number of people, but they couldn't afford a franchise, and they didn't want to be my employees. So it opened up a lot of opportunities that didn't exist in the franchise. But the number one thing was it was an affordable business to get involved in.
Well, sometimes affordable, you can get into it, but without the without good training and sustained support, you don't go anywhere. So, how did you take that entree into the business and make it successful?
Well, in this situation, there was training and support, and that's actually in the I'm going to be offering something free, but I'll just kind of preface what I'm going to say.
Right.
So I'm not going to go. I could say a lot on this subject, and I'm only going to touch on a few things. So I'm offering more information. Mm-hmm. In the form of a report or one of my books. But what was interesting in this situation, it was a franchise that turned into a direct sales company, so they were already supporting us. They didn't support us in quite the same degree, but we still did have support, and I think that's one of the important things. I know it's something that Bill looked at, because he was really looking for companies that did have a franchise-like basis to them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that is support. And just spoke to a young woman this morning, and I said, and it wasn't in a direct sales business, but it was in the insurance business. I said, why do you think you failed? And she said, because nobody helped me. I went out there on my own, and turned out I was knocking on the wrong doors.
Yep.
You know, you need that kind of help and support. And so that's one of the things you want to look for in a business, and be very specific about the kind of support you need. Do you need... If they're requiring that you go out and make sales, are they going to teach you how to make those sales? If they require that you understand the product, are they going to teach you about the product? So you have to be specific about what it is and that you need the training in. Maybe you need training in just how do you run a business? You know, how do you operate a business? And a good direct sales company will help you with those things.
Okay. Yep. All good things. Well, Bill, you know, jump in here and tell us, you know, some of the things that you saw. You know, I mean, you've touched on them, but what really chose, you know, drove you to choose? I'll get that right one of these days. You know, this particular concept.
Well, it's probably the perfect experience from the standpoint when I met Lorna. I viewed this really as something I was more interested, because of what I didn't know at that moment in time, fit in the personal side of my life. A young teenage driver at home, scariest thing for any parent, given that the statistics are that within the first year of being issued a license, most young drivers have an 80% chance they will be in a very serious accident. And I was looking to minimize and, to the greatest extent, mitigate any kind of consequence of that. And if you know my son, that's a very predictable 80%. And lo and behold, he didn't disappoint. Within months, he got a speeding ticket. And, you know, anybody that's heard me tell this story before, I really didn't care what it cost him as far as the ticket. But I called my insurance agent and asked her what this might mean to my premiums, and she said, given his age and the type of ticket that he got, it is likely that we will at least double his annual premiums, and we will probably keep those until he is age 25. He was 16 years old at that time. And when I calculated that number, that's after I came back among the living,
yes.
You know, that was thousands of dollars, and I became immediately concerned. The irony of this story is that that day I was having coffee with Lauren, and I was telling her this story. I was complaining to anybody that would listen to me, and she said, well, why don't you call the folks at Legal Shield? And I must tell you, I felt so stupid. I forgot that I had this, and my first response to Lauren was, you know, I didn't think they even dealt with things like this. It was too minimal. And she said, well, that's why you have this. And I said, well, it's too late now. It's Wednesday afternoon, and his court appearance is Monday. And they want me to take him out of school. I've got to take a day off from work and go and stand among hundreds of other parents and kids and waste our day and suffer the financial consequences as well. She insisted that I call, and I did. And within minutes, I get a call back from one of the attorneys here in Atlanta, and I described what was going on, and the first thing that he said was, well, don't take him out of school and don't take a day off of work. I will go out, personally appear on your behalf and plead this. And I thought, are you sure? And he said, this is what we do.
Wow.
So he said, I will call you as soon as I get out of court and tell you what success I had. And that was a very optimistic remark. And you know what happened? On Monday, around 10 o'clock in the morning, I got a call within minutes of him pleading this thing out. And he said, well, I got a good deal for you. If your son will go to defensive driving school and appear within 30 days with the certification of him completing that course, the judge, although the fine sticks, $271, $75 for the driving, I was concerned about the $20,000 in insurance premiums.
Yeah.
And he said the judge agreed to expunge that from his record.
Wow.
So, you know, I was bowled over, honestly. And So let me fast forward 30 days later. He completes the driving course. I call the same attorney from Legal Shield, and I said, well, you know, we have to appear Monday, so I'm going to go. And he says, well, I'll meet you there. And I said, well, Fred, you know, it seems like your work is done here, and I don't want to bother you. He said, that's what we do. So, again, drives across town, shows up. Here's what I didn't know. There were literally over 100 parents and kids to have their cases heard. And the first thing the judge announces is anybody that has representation comes before me first. Sure. I had visions of spending the night there.
Yeah.
And court started at 8. By 8:15, our case was heard. We paid our fine. I'm walking out to the parking lot, and I said, Fred, what do I owe you? 2 days in court? And he said, well, don't you have Legal Shield? I said, I do, but I have to tell you, I've only had it for a couple of months. I think I was paying less than $20. It was just a ridiculous small amount of money. And he said, no, that's it. It's all taken care of. So from that personal experience, wow. I raced back to Lorna and started bragging about this as though she's hearing this story for the first time. And I said, you know, there's more value here than I realize. So will you help me? Because, first of all, I want to explore it as a business product. Mm-hmm. Because in the business of franchise sales, we're always offering referrals for lawyers and business consulting. And you know, we're essentially providing local referral sources. And this seemed to be a more formalized and a much higher quality way for us to engage our clients, give them the value add within their franchise due diligence process. And then the afterlife. You know, once these people get into business, they still have these needs, but they may not need a franchise attorney. But somewhere along the line, if you own a business, you're going to need the help of a business attorney in some way.
Yes.
If not for, for a personal issue. So, as I've told her before, she should have been a kindergartner teacher because she hung in there with me and watched me transition into an advocate from a skeptic. And the more we started to look at this business, the more ideas that we had as to how we could integrate it into Axiom. Mm-hmm. But the epiphany came rather recently, and we said, you know, if we like it this much and we're telling other people and we're telling every one of our clients that they should have this, that the value exchange is unparalleled, well, why wouldn't we offer this as a business? Because it fits everything that I couldn't find for a number of years. You know, it had the value extension of what we were doing in terms of the criteria we established for other businesses. In all candor, and I've said this to her before, you know, we represent the best of the best. But even among that group, for the investment cost of this relative to a traditional franchise, which is minuscule, it makes me laugh when I, and Lorna will probably tell the story of the first time she told me what it cost. But the idea with that was, you know, why wouldn't we then put it in the book? Because you actually, I see more support out of that than I do the franchise that you might buy for a couple $100,000. So I immediately became comfortable with knowing that we had something of high quality that we could talk about that was a natural extension of what we did. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to change anybody's behavior. We didn't have to sell hard. We didn't have to convince them of what they thought they didn't need. This was stuff we were already doing. So that's how Legal Shield really became part of the Axiom portfolio of opportunities. And more particularly, we made that decision based on our ability to better help groups of people we were trying to reach, including military people coming out of military service.
Mm-hmm. That's a fabulous story. So, Lorna, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I love hearing Bill's story. It's, it tickles my heart every time I hear it.
And having a son who totaled two cars before he was 25, I can relate.
I wish I had known about it. I lost my license for speeding when I was 18.
Yeah, there you go. Almost all of us in Atlanta in particular have a story.
Why don't you two continue the radio interview and we'll sign Kevin up.
Exactly. Sounds
Do
good.
That. Well, Lorna, can you pick up on you know, some of the things that Bill said and mm-hmm. reinforce, you know, some of your comments earlier about the training and support? How does somebody come into this and make it a business and grow it into something?
Well, it is a business, and I would say that the number one difference between somebody who is successful like I am, and I'll give you a few numbers just to prove the success.
And we can talk about numbers because it's not a franchise where, you know, we are limited.
Yes, right. Okay. Well, in my case, and I don't to say I'm unusual, but I'm also not the top income earner in the company. But I did make $1 million in my first 10 years in the company. And I actually only worked 7 of those 10 years because the last 3 years I was dealing with a family tragedy. We lost our home in a fire, and I just couldn't work. So, in effect, in 7 years of working, I created a $1 million worth of income. What was more important to me, because I was at an age where I was starting to think about retiring.
17, 18.
Yeah, right. In my fourth quarter of life, fifth quarter, going into the fifth. But what I was looking for was a way to create a retirement, because I hadn't really prepared for retirement, nor had my husband. Did I tell him you just circled June 14th on the calendar of every calendar and thank your lucky stars you married me, because you wouldn't be retiring. But the long and the short of it is that I did look at it as a business. So it was more me. The company is set up in such a way that people can make, and you know, currently people are making anywhere from, well, nothing, because they're not doing anything, but those are working. And we have many, many people making this in the six figures, seven figures, and multiple seven figures. So it is possible. The average person is probably earning somewhere between 30 and 70,000. But, you know, if it's important to you and you're willing to work, you can, sky's the limit, which is the beauty of a business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up to you. I set my own hours. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that... a couple of things that Bill said that I think I'd like to comment on. First,
please,
is the price.
Yes.
Because I showed him the business. I said, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And I said, it's $149. And then I went on talking a little bit more. And I suddenly realized he probably was thinking $149,000. So I thought I better correct. I said, Bill, that's $149. So this is a business that I tried to think of everything you could possibly do, including buying business cards and anything that you would need outside of the business in a box that you buy when you pay $149. And, you know, I think the most... to get the business up and going over the first couple of months, the most it's going to cost you is at the most $500. I know I was straight. We picked out the number 500,
right.
But it's under $500. Now, once you've got the material, there's education and training in that. We do have online and offline classroom training. There are some additional trainings that you can take should you want to go and market to businesses. Then we have some special training for that. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that I would include in the $500. The opportunity is then to choose what's going to be work best for you. And what I like about Legal Shield is you can do this business in a number of different ways. So it can suit your personality. We've got people who, actually right now, we've got some very successful people who can't speak because they can't hear. So they sign, and actually the fact they can't speak is sometimes the best, because we give them material that they give to people that does the speaking for them, so they don't mess it up.
Yeah. That
In fact, the deaf person said that he does recruit some people who can speak, in which case he puts duct tape over their mouths. So it's designed to be a business that anybody can do. And I know a lot of people do not consider themselves salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure...
Yeah, when you say that, use that direct sales term, that you know, that's going to scare a lot of people.
Yeah, so I want to redefine the word sell, if I may. I do this in the book that I'm going to be offering to people.
Okay.
I spell Sal, S is in show. You just show people information, show people video, DVD, put them on a web. So just show them information in one form or another. You then help them to be educated about the product. So that's your job, is to, and many people are educators. You know, we like to educate people, love to tell. In fact, don't you just love to tell people about things? And I think Bill would have told people about his experience with his son's ticket, whether he was selling something or not. He would just be telling people about it. The second, the first L in sales stands for help that person learn how it impacts them. In other words, if you know somebody has a teenage driver, I might tell them the story of Bill's teenage driver. If I had somebody who was a business owner, I would tell them about the business owner who was owed $10,000 and one letter from our law firm got him that money back. So it's very simple. You just tell some stories, share some information. Now we get to the final L, and this is the L that is the only thing we'd have to teach somebody if we'd have to teach them. Now, you bring a 3 or 4 year old in, you wouldn't have to teach them this because they already know it. And that Al is leading them to a decision. And you just think, if you're around kids, don't they just constantly ask you for things and they wear you down until you say yes? Well, we don't necessarily do that, but we all know how to ask.
Sure.
And so it's just a matter of asking the question in a way that you're comfortable.
Okay.
Because if you're comfortable, it'll make the person comfortable. But I basically believe I can teach anybody how to sell. But what we got to do is get around the their misconception about themselves. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody really believes in something, if it's helped you or you really believe in the product or the service, you will tell other people about it and they will...
You will share your story.
You'll share your story and somebody's going to buy it. In fact, I was on a radio show like this, and 3 of the 4 women that were on the show with me all said, I need that.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just a matter of people hearing it.
Okay, okay. So let's go back. Let's show, educate, learn, and lead to a decision. I like that.
Well,
that,
I like
that's
that
good.
A lot.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, I just wanted to comment that, you know, when you hear the word direct sales, in some cases, unfortunately, it has a negative connotation. But generally, that's been built with those kinds of systems where they had a very efficient system of distribution, but very poor product value. Think about it.
Yes.
I am a fan of direct sales. I think it's a fabulous way to get a lot of product in a very efficient distribution system. However, most of them fail because the products are overpriced. You have to change the behavior. You've got to come to my house to pick this up. I'm your friend, so I'm worth another 20%. And if you can buy that product out of the grocery store, this company is so unique because it's the only one that I have found where the service or the product actually being dispensed to the beneficiary, the client, costs less within the network than that person could buy it outside of the network, if you think about this. If the average billing cost today in this Atlanta market for a good attorney is about $400 an hour, and for less than $250 a year, you could have the services and the accessibility
at any time.
At any time, for almost half the cost of 1 hour's time, is there a value there?
I think so.
Okay.
Somewhere,
I thought so.
Yeah, the way I added up. Yeah, Lorna, you follow on that, or another comment?
Well, and I think that's something that is unique, that we do not have to take products and put the price up. We're actually, you know, giving somebody quality product, which the average person, when they see this, they go, either I needed this a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, or they say, I can imagine how anybody could use this at some point in their life.
Okay, that's terrific.
So you're selling something of value, and that makes you feel good.
And it's a service, not a product.
And it's a service. You do not have a garage full of lawyers.
That's right. Yes.
I have one what membership card.
What a picture.
Yeah. Yes, yes. That's really scary. Well, now, Lorna, you mentioned earlier that you might have a booklet or something that people wanting more information could get download or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you and I guess they would write to you, so you may want to
I'll do that, yeah.
Write into you. You'll give your that information.
Sure.
Well, two things. One of two things, and they can have both if they'd like, and actually I'll throw in a third thing as well. I wrote a book about 10 years ago called The Absolute Best Way in the World for Women to Make Money, and that book is now available as an e-book. I have two versions of it. One is The Absolute Best Way for Women to Make Money, and the other is The Absolute Best Way for African-American Women to Make Money. It comes to the same conclusion, but it's a different storyline, so they can just indicate which one they want if they care to. And I also took out of that a report, which is basically how to choose a direct sales business and the red flags to watch out for. So we can talk about a few of those to start off with, but then the rest of them would be in that report. So the report is inside the book, but if they're not readers and don't want the book and they want the short version of how to pick a company and whatnot, then we can send them that. And I'd certainly encourage people, if they are interested, to we've got a little videotape web-based presentation on Legal Shield if they just like to learn about the product, but happy to send them that as well. So where should they write to get that information?
Well, they should write to me, B. Williams at 4, that's the numeral 4, Axiom, Alpha X-Ray, X-Ray, IOM.com, and I'll repeat that in a few minutes, but thank you, Lorna, for that. I think one thing we want to remind people is that there's been a significant investment in Legal Shield as a corporate entity recently.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, or one of the results of that, you're seeing commercials on primetime TV for Legal Shield.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are out there listening to this message or they pick it up on the internet, maybe they'll say, oh, I remember seeing that little golden curve there in that commercial about the couple running in the park and all that. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been interesting because I just came from a meeting with the CEO. They are pulling out all the stops. They're spending whatever they need to spend to get the name of this company out in the marketplace and to make it a household word. So you're coming into a company that is 40 years old.
Wow.
But is really, it's a ground floor opportunity. One of the cautions I make in terms of, looking at companies, there's a perception that you have to get in at the very beginning or you're not going to make any money. Well, nothing could be further from the truth in this situation, because a lot of those companies, if they're ground floor opportunities, they never get off the ground.
Yes.
95% of all businesses fail. That's why franchising is such a great business model, and that's why you really should check the length of time a company has been in business, and the fact that it's been in business for 40 years is not to its detriment. It's actually to your advantage.
Absolutely.
And that is one of the things you want to look at. But in the case of Legal Shield, we have not in any form or fashion hit our peak. There is, across the country, 2% of the population owns a Legal Shield plan, but 60% of people, when we talk to them, say they would be interested in buying such a plan if it existed. In other words, they don't even know it exists.
Right.
So we're really, it's not that difficult to imagine that in talking with 10 people, 6 of them would be shocked that such a thing existed and would be interested.
That, that's pretty amazing. 6 out of 10. I wish, my numbers were that good, right? Well, Kevin, you have any questions or comments you want to?
Not at all. I just wish I could grab a time machine. When you invent a time machine, I can get those 2 years of my life back.
That's right.
My license back.
Well, I'm sure you matured a lot in those 2 years.
I did. Yeah. I avoided that accident that everyone else ran into, but I got so many speeding tickets I can't even imagine. So.
Well, this has been extremely informative and exciting, you know, I want to talk, you know, the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, it's called NAVVOBA, defines a veterpreneur as a military veteran who organizes and manages a business. Our mission at From Boots to Biz Radio is to help create more business owners among military veterans and military spouses by providing information and education about how to make the best business choice for your family and future career while minimizing your risk. I think, you know, to me, especially for women veterans, and you know, you're going back to the title of your book, Lorna, mm-hmm. Women veterans and military spouses, they're looking for a high-quality organization, provides a needed service, low cost of entry, excellent training, strong support throughout, you know, flexibility of time. I mean, you own your own time, right? Mm-hmm. It's based out of your home, and improves the quality of your life. I mean, Legal Shield offers virtually an unlimited opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And women are particularly suited for this business because they do care about what their family's outcomes are.
So sure.
They are paying attention. They're the most likely people to buy insurance or push the family towards buying insurance. And this is an insurance-type product. They are also a natural when it comes to networking and meeting people and sharing information with people. We all do. We share information in the back. You guys don't know what goes on in the ladies' room, but I'll tell you what, a lot of sharing of information goes on. We tell our friends what to buy, and if we get a good deal, we always talk about it. And they're also very good at if one of the choices you have, you don't have to in our business build a sales team, but if you choose to, women are very good at that too, because mm-hmm. they're good at organizing things, they're good at relationships, and this is relationship marketing as opposed to just going out and, you know, doing transactional
work. Sales.
It's really about building relationships. And so we've got a lot of opportunities in a variety of different areas. You don't have to do just one thing. Some of what I do is very different from what other Legal Shield people do. But we all make a living, and we love what we do. And there's very few places where you can make a good living, love what you do, feel you're making a real difference in people's lives.
Very true. Very true. And we're all looking for that special place. So. Well, thanks again to both of you and for being here today.
It's great to be here.
You know, and again, it's been extremely informative, and that's show, educate, learn, and lead. Is that right?
That's it.
Okay. And if you, check our homepage on the Business Radio X website, Google Business Radio X, drill down to From Boots to Biz Radio, and you'll see all of our programs, but this one for certain today. And again, for that book either one of those books from Lorna.
You can ask for it all.
Send me an email, bwilliams@4axiom, alpha x-ray, x-ray, IOM.com, bwilliams@4axiom.com, and we'll be happy to send that out to you. So until next week, Kevin, out there, carry on.